Good morning. My name is Richard Hunter. I'll be the liturgist this morning, the loud liturgist this morning. To start things off, there is a registration pad at the end of each pew. If you would, fill that out, pass it down, and then pass it back. And if you see somebody's name on there that you don't know, be sure to introduce yourself to them. But we welcome, you know, all the members and all the visitors here this fine Sunday morning. A couple of announcements. We've collected just under $40,000 toward the new van. So congratulations to Asbury. Outside the sanctuary, you'll see a display for the van fundraiser. There are envelopes labeled 1 through 100, listing the many ways and the many ways we use the van here at Asbury. Grab an envelope, and the number on the envelope is the amount of money you place in the envelope, or you could place more in the envelope. You can turn that into the offering plate with the offering plate, or turn it into the church office. We want you to mark your calendar and be sure that mark your calendar for Hog on the Hill, which will be coming up on Sunday, October the 23rd. It will be a great event and a great fundraiser. Now we have a word on change for change from Miss Shelton.
Good morning. In the book of Acts, when the apostles were gathered together in one place, the Holy Spirit descended upon them as tongues of the fire, the flames of Pentecost. And 2,000 years later, we still call upon that same Spirit for the fire, the passion, the inspiration to declare and share our faith in Christ. This month, we are bringing back Change for Change, an opportunity for everyone in the congregation, old and young, visitors and longtime members to help make a powerful impact locally and globally through our shared giving. So what is shared giving? This is also called your apportionments. As United Methodists, we contribute a portion of all giving towards a collective effort that helps fund missions, ministries, and many other initiatives locally, nationally, and globally. Congregations, small and large, from Little Rock to San Francisco to Africa, join forces to positively impact the world in powerful ways. Shared giving happens every year at Asbury, and Change for Change is a chance for us to help achieve our annual goal. We also inform the congregation about some of the wonderful ways that shared giving has changed lives around the world. The extra change we contribute this month will help fund local ministries like Camp Aldersgate, where differently abled kids can experience the joy of summer camp, and area connectional ministries like New Church Development and Disaster Preparedness and Response. It also helps support institutions of higher learning tied to the Methodist Church in Central Arkansas, including Hendricks College, Flanders Smith University, and also ministries such as the Lydia Patterson Institute of El Paso, Texas, where students cross the border from Mexico to get a safe education in a Christian school. Your pocket change also travels to the globe through the World Service Fund, which finances missions to fight malaria, plant new churches, and educate new pastors. It serves the poor, enables youth events, and helps support retired pastors. Throughout August, you'll hear more about all that our shared giving does to support the hands and feet of Christ in Central Arkansas and around the world. Look for the Change for Change containers located in the Narthex, the Wilson Activity Center, and other places just around Asbury. Just as those who gathered together on that miraculous Pentecost day, we live in Christ more fully when we don't do it all by ourselves. We rely on each other because faith grows in community. Each person has the potential to help others become closer to Christ. Together, individual sparks become steady fire, and the Holy Spirit works ever more in powerful ways. Thank you.
And now I invite you to stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Thank you.
Please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, number 622 in the Methodist hymnal, "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood," verses 1, 2, and 5.
I have some kiddos out here who will come down with me. Yay, I've got one. Any more? I see a couple more coming up. Good. Great. Well, we're going to talk today. I want y'all to sit on the bottom step. Can y'all sit on the bottom step? Come on down here. We're going to kind of have a little visual thing here. Well, I'm going to tell you about a man way back in the Bible named Zacchaeus. You may not have heard of him, but he was kind of a small person, and you guys are kind of small. Do you have trouble seeing over people when you're like in a parade or maybe in a movie or something? What can you do to see over somebody? Can you think of something?
Get on your dad's back.
That's a good idea. Get on your dad's back. Have your parents lift you up. What else?
Climb up a tree and look over them.
Oh, climb up. Oh, this girl knows her Bible stories. All right. I know whose daughter she is. Okay. Well, Zacchaeus was a little frustrated and unhappy because he knew Jesus was coming to town. And what could he do to try to see him, because the crowd was going to be taller than he. So you already told us. He saw a tree, and he climbed up in the tree, and he was able to see. Now, who was coming down the street? You know?
Jesus.
That's right. Here's a little small picture of Jesus. And lo and behold, when Jesus got close to the tree, he looked up in the tree, and do you know what he said? He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today." The Lord loved Zacchaeus, even though he was different, and he loves us even if we're different, doesn't he? Now, we're going to try to sing a little song, and you guys out in the audience might know this from your Bible school days. and your Sunday school days. The choir is going to help us. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us, no matter what we do or what we look like. Amen.
We'd like everyone to take a look in the bulletin to the prayer list. Phil McCartney, Mildred Bradley, and Richard Blush. We have an addition, Georgia Sewers, in the death of her sister, Dorothy Kapnick, this morning. Let us pray. Lord, in your house, you invite all to sit down at the table and feast. People of all different races and backgrounds, male and female, young and old, receive your hospitality and grace each day. Grace that we cling to in times of pain and discomfort. Grace we celebrate and give thanks for as we see evidence of your presence in things great and small. Help us to be a people that are open in sharing love, not shy, that we might be bold to declare to total strangers that they are loved and accepted. That we might shout to all the world that peace and love will rule our homes and not hatred and despair. Pick us up out of the muck, O God, and set our feet upon a firm foundation of the faith in Jesus Christ. For we cry out to you that we desire and hope above all else to be dependent upon you and the hallowed things of the earth. We give gratitude for the multitude of ways we experience your amazing grace. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We encourage you to drop off bottles of water at cooling centers around Little Rock. If you're unsure where to take the bottles of water, bring them to the church and we'll drop them off for you. Now let us pray. God, you give us mercy. May we share mercy with our neighbors. You give us forgiveness. May we share in forgiveness of our neighbors. You give us hope. May we share in hope with our neighbors. You give us abundant love. May we give that abundant love to our neighbors. We are thankful. Bless all we give to glorify you. Amen. meditation, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, number 365.
This is an interesting happening this morning. I find out who all my really, really good friends are. You know, people, some of you all have put up with my sermons for a long, long time. And I just want you to know that I guess your memory is getting a little shorter all the time because you came anyway. I really am grateful for your presence. My family came this morning. I'm grateful for their presence. My Sunday school class, my goodness, it's just good to see you. And my grandson said he likes my sermons because they're short. So I've got to live up to that. Scripture lesson is out of Jeremiah, and it is in the first chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. This is Jeremiah's call from God, and that's a part of what we're going to be talking about this morning, is God's call on us. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As you know, if you've heard me preach across the years, there are two preachers, homiletics instructors that mean more to me than anybody else that's in the field. One of those was my homiletics professor at Perkins, who is now deceased, and whose wife wrote that hymn to joy that we like so much in the Methodist hymnal, Ronald Sleeth. The other is a little short guy named Fred Craddock. Fred was a Disciples of Christ preacher. He taught for many years homiletics at Emory University. And we've heard him preach in Little Rock a number of times at the lectures at Pulaski Heights. So I want to start with a story that Dr. Craddock tells about a little boy who was growing up, who was 7 years old, going on 17, who just could not stand it until he got old enough to play baseball. You had to be 8 years old to play in Little League, and that's what he was waiting for. Now, he finally arrived at that special date. He could now play Little League baseball. And so he just warned everybody about when they could practice, what was going to happen. He asked his mom, Mom, when do we practice today? Or when do we practice? He said, Tuesday. He said, I think it's 5 o'clock. I better call the coach. And so he calls the coach and he says, Coach, when do we practice? Coach said, Jimmy, we practice at 5 o'clock. This Wednesday afternoon. Okay. So he waited. He said, Mom, what time do we practice? When do we practice? She said, Jimmy, I told you. He said, I better call the coach again. And so he calls the coach again. The coach said, Jimmy, it's just like I told you. Wednesday afternoon, 5 o'clock. Okay, coach. And the coach turned to his wife and said, that little Jimmy's going to drive us into the ground. Well, Wednesday came. About noon, it started to sprinkle. About 3 o'clock, it started to rain. And about 4:30, it was a gully washer. Now, Jimmy's mom was ironing, and she turns her head and she says to Jimmy, Jimmy, I'm so sorry. Jimmy? Jimmy was going out the kitchen door with his glove and his cap, and he hung that glove on his handlebar of the bicycle, and off he went in the rain to the ball field, which was on the school ground, and which just happened to be across the street from where the coach lived. Coach looked out the front door, and he saw some kid standing out on home base with water about up to his knees and his baseball glove and his cap. And the coach turned to his wife and he said, some fool kid is standing over there. He's going to drown himself. I better go see what's going on. So he puts on his rain gear and he goes out and almost has to swim out to home plate where Jimmy is. And he says to Jimmy, Jimmy, why are you here? What could persuade you? It's raining, boy. We're not going to practice. And Jimmy said, but coach, I told you I would be here. And I am here. Now, there's so many times that we don't realize what we're teaching others about the call. Jimmy understood that if he gave his word about something, he was going to be there. Well, the adults that we know have sometimes taught us that we teach that we don't have to quite get to that point. We grown-ups say, if it doesn't rain, I'm sure going to be there. If I have the time, if I get through my schedule, if I don't have something else that I need to do, I'll try. When God calls us, we give our human excuses. That's biblical. God called Jeremiah. In our lesson today, tough job, tough message, depressing message. Jeremiah starts to make excuses. He says, Lord God, I'm just a boy. Can't expect me to do this. I really don't even know how to speak. That's biblical. God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses said, I can't stand up against Pharaoh. I'm just a shepherd. And in regular language today, we say, I can't even speak good. Standing out there, he told God that excuse. Well, somebody told me this morning, said if you have a Bible, just tell them it's a senior moment. And she said most of them out here will understand. Anyway, he called Gideon. Gideon's called to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. You know what Gideon said? He said, I'm the least in my family. I'm only a child. And when Jesus tells the disciples to feed the 5,000 men plus the women and children that weren't counted out on that hillside, they made excuse. Lord, how are we going to do that? There's a lad here with his lunch, 5 loaves and a couple of fish. They made excuse, and that's biblical. Well, consider what God did with these reluctant people. Moses delivered his people from slavery. Gideon, with a very small army, delivered his people from the hands of the Midianites. Solomon built the temple. And on that hillside, the disciples fed 5,000 plus people with 12 baskets full left over. God can take very average and very reluctant people and do miraculous things. I'm talking to you and us, you and me now. God calls us not because we've got the right training, or because we know the right words, or because we've been to the right training. Calls us, it's being willing to answer the claim of God on your life. That's the key. Being willing to answer the claim of God on your life. Like the 8-year-old boy with a cap that really didn't fit all that well, and the shiny new ball glove. Coach, I told you I'd be here. Don't be too quick to discount God's call upon your life. You may say, well, I'm not a Moses, I'm not a Jeremiah. I don't have what those people in the Bible had. They started with very human excuses. But don't be too quick to discount your own experience of God in your life. I read a story about a king who had a rather large kingdom, and he heard way out in the far reaches of his kingdom, in fact it was on an island, that there was a holy man whose prayers were just so wonderful that they ministered to people. And the little old man was a fisherman. But the king decided he was going to go out there and see what was going on with this little guy. And so he got his crew in the boat and he sailed off to this island. And when he got there, sure enough, here was this little old fisherman sitting out on the sand, on the beach, praying. And the king went over and he said, sir, would it be all right if I watch you pray for a while? The old man agreed, that was okay. And so the king stood back, and the old man closed his eyes, lifted his head to heaven, and he started to pray. He prayed, and he prayed. And after about an hour, the king interrupted him, and he said to him, you know, you're doing it all wrong. And so the king proceeded to teach him how to do correctly according to the way they did it at the palace. And the little man was very accepting of his instructions. He tried to memorize the phrases and the, you know, how you do it. And he finally thought he had it. And the king said, well, I'm going to go home. And the little man bowed to him. He went to his house, and the king went to the ship. They set sail about a quarter of a mile or so out in the water. One of the king's crewmen came racing up to him, very excited, and he pointed back toward the beach. And here comes the little old fisherman walking on top of the water. He comes up to the boat, kind of leans his arm up on the edge of the boat, and he says to the king, while he's standing on the water with the sloshing around his feet, he said, Your Majesty, I need you to help me again. I've forgotten some of the phrases and some of the words. Would you tell me those again? To which the king said, you just going back home and forget everything I said to you. Keep on doing what you're doing. God calls us and we make excuses. We do that about our church here. We make excuses. Why are we not doing what we ought to be doing? Well, maybe the preacher's not working hard enough. Maybe we don't have the right personnel. Do you ever think it might be that you're not doing what God calls you to do? And that's to be a warm, accepting, seeking family of God who makes people feel just wonderful just to be around you. Maybe that's what he's calling us to do. God doesn't ask us to do anything we can't do. Maybe that's what it is. We're no different than the people in the Bible who are called to God to do God's bidding. And God's able to use us. If, like the little boy in the rain, I told you I'd be there. God doesn't give us an invitation because of our abilities, because of our possessions. We're called to take up our cross and follow. Sacrament this morning, so special. But it is not an invitation to the holy and the righteous. I think I heard a little discussion about this, maybe somebody being not so good as they thought they ought to be or something and being invited to communion. Should I go and take communion? I've got all these sins in my life. Well, it's not an invitation to those who are holy and righteous, because frankly, we'd all fail. The sacrament this morning is an invitation to those of us who know our weaknesses and our excuses, and we have to ask ourselves, have I listened? When the invitation that God gave me was offered, when the call was given, how we said, Lord, I'll be there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. If you'll turn in your hymnal, pages 12 and 13, we will participate in the sacrament. Sacrament of communion in the Methodist Church is an open communion, which means you don't have to be a Methodist. You don't have to be a member of this congregation. Everyone who's here is welcome to come to this table because it's God's table. And as you know, God created all of us, and so we're all his family. So if you desire, come and participate. Also, we have gluten-free wafers for those who have a need for gluten-free. You just tell one of us who's serving, and we will get it for you. Now, the invitation is printed on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it in remembrance that I died for you, that I gave myself for you." And then after supper, he lifted the cup and he said to his disciples, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant given for you. Drink this in remembrance that I gave myself for you, and be truly thankful. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who gathered here." Oh, and so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Those assisting will come. Pray. Dear God, we, your people, confess that we are the greatest excuse makers that there are around. But we also, dear God, are aware of our sinfulness. And we know that through this wonderful sacrament, which we celebrate this morning, that there is new hope, new life for all of us. We pray that this special gift that you have given to us will enable us to be stronger in our faith, and that when we hear you call us, we will answer, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Make us ever grateful for our church family, and help us to spread the peace that our Savior brought around all this world to all of your creation. In the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. And if you are here and you wish to unite with our church in any way we receive members, then I ask you to come forward during the singing of the hymn. As you depart this sanctuary, remember that God doesn't just live here, that he lives everywhere. And everywhere you go, he talks to you. He tells you what he wants you to do. We need to listen, and we need to do as we have promised we would do as Christian people. So, go forth from this place full of happiness and cheer and celebration of the fact that Christ came to save the world. And he came to save us. And we can share that with others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.